Well, time for our concluding wealth panel brought to you by Old Mutual Wealth. And just to recap, so far we've gone back to basics when it comes to wealth planning. We've spoken about some of the unique social and life stage challenges that affect women's financial planning in particular. And last night we found out how two of the country's largest wealth managers are approaching digital innovation in the age of the rewired investor. Tonight we're going to round off the week with the art of wealth and how fine art can certainly be a fine investment. Or can it? I don't know. It's one of those very interesting asset classes. And if you're an art lover, you can kill two birds with one stone by investing in something you love that certainly makes financial sense as well as aesthetic sense. Well, to find out how one goes about this, it's a great pleasure to welcome in studio Dr. Fred Scott, founding partner at Walker Scott Art Advisory. Fred, thanks so much for joining us.
Good evening, Michael.
And also around the table, I've got Alistair Meredith, art expert at Strauss & Co., which recently hosted a very successful art auction with some prelers going under the hammer for some pretty staggering and eye-watering amounts there. Alistair, welcome.
Yeah, thanks very much, Michael. Thank you.
And on the line, we've got Stefan Hunt, curator of the Sanlam Art Collection. Stefan, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me.
Fred, kick us off here, and you know, the big question here is, can art make a good investment? And we're talking now about an asset class that I'm sure many in the financial markets would struggle to kind of value or understand from a risk return profile perspective. Overall, is art a good investment?
Yes, it certainly is. One just need to look at the growth of the global art market. You know, in 2000, the value was placed at 140 billion rand, and currently it's around about 800 billion rands. And that certainly tells us that it is an investment asset.
Well, that's some impressive compound annual growth at a time when we've seen financial markets perhaps not do as well as that. Talk to me about how one approaches art investing, because it seems to be one of those very subjective things. You can walk into a gallery to the layperson and there's a price tag of, who knows, you're in Clarence and there's 50,000 rand on an artwork and you don't really know if it's worth that.
Yeah. Yes, I would just like to mention that, you know, the art market is surprisingly resilient compared to the stock market. And again, with the contraction in the economy in 2008, art indexes dropped around about 5%, whereas the S&P abruptly dropped 37%. So there should be no doubt that art is a very good investment, but one should be very careful that it's not all art that is an investment. Now, to answer the question, it all comes down to innovation in an artwork. Certainly, any work today produced in the manner of the old masters can be a fantastic artwork, but if one is just redoing what already exists, there would never be that kind of value because it has been done. So innovation is certainly very important. One should look out for that.
And a good point you raise there about diversifying one's portfolio. If there isn't a strong correlation between other asset classes, then it certainly makes sense to hold a bit of art because it'll hedge against falling financial markets or falling asset classes in other senses. I just want to get a handle on how one goes about valuing art. And Alice, I mean, that's really where the art auction houses come in. You play a big role in that secondaries market. How is valuation approached?
Well, I suppose we value everything as objectively as possible. We don't simply look at something and think it's beautiful and stick a figure on it. All our estimates are based entirely on auction history and precedent. So we find similar work to the work that we're valuing, similar in terms of style and medium and size, of course. And we look at the results that similar pictures have fetched at auction on the open market, and we use those figures as guidelines to set our low and high auction estimates when works appear in our auctions.
Stefan, talk to me also about valuation here, because if you approach the markets from a conventional perspective, assets like bonds and equities, you can do it quite easily. All the information on the prices, returns, all of that is quite readily available. Art, on the other hand, and even though we have these historic prices that are auction prices, seems to have very little sort of intrinsic value. Its value can really change depending on individual preferences almost. How does one discover a fair price in a market like that?
Well, you have touched on one point, is obviously that there is a certain problem with transparency in pricing. And that has largely to do with the contemporary side of the art market. I think that's where prices are set by galleries and dealers, and very often one's access to that information is rather limited. But certainly over the years, the internet has made access to pricing, certainly through auction sites and so on, a lot more accessible. And I think the reality of that is seen at an auction like at Strauss & Company, where very often the prices now achieved for celebrated artworks are pretty comparable to what they would have got from a gallery or a dealership. So price transparency for work that has been on the market before is very, very clear. Where otherwise, if you're looking at the contemporary side, there is a lot of speculation on what something is really worth. Intrinsic value, I suppose that's always going to be an issue, because essentially you're dealing with something that, like intellectual property really, in my opinion. So, in a sense, one must also question, you know, what does one mean by intrinsic value? Because can the art, does that mean that it's got to have value in terms of how it can be used? I mean, gold, what kind of intrinsic value does gold have, you know?
Yeah, apart from that agreed standard that we let go of after Bretton Woods. But it's an interesting component, Fred, here, of what is intrinsic value, because very often that intrinsic value could be the prestige attached to owning a Piernaeff or a Stern.
Yes, but in the end, it all comes down to the talent of the artists that produce the artwork. And history has shown that works that have values created artificially and not through the intrinsic value, that they tend not to hold their value and tend to lose value over time.
So if you're approaching this as an investor, a good bit of advice would be to really understand the quality, the historical sort of aspects and elements of the artist involved. And as you said earlier, look for innovation.
Yes, that is certainly very important. And of course, what does innovation mean? It actually means there was an evolution in the way that art is being produced. And that is certainly very important. Now, for investors, there are tools that one can use. There are the so-called art indexes and data from auctions and so on that allows one to actually quantify the value of an artwork in the market. And these index prices, you know, in South Africa we've got the Citadel Art Price Index, but these databases help artists, help investors and collectors of art really to establish the correct market value.
Stefan, surely because we've got this sort of inelastic supply and it's a luxury good status, it's a fine art piece, you know, it really can vary greatly depending on things like taste, on current fashions, and demand for art, and certainly the willingness to spend by the wealthy must be some of the key determinants of the level of art market activity that we're going to see.
Well, I think you see that anyway in the international market, the sudden rise in prices for certain artists' works. You know, it's a few years ago you had a whole group of artists that came onto the market, which is now referred to, interestingly enough, as zombie formalism. You know, and these artists suddenly achieved 1,000% increases in their prices for their works over a period of 2 years as speculators played the market. And more recently, some of these items have come onto the auction at Sotheby's in London, and they've achieved not even 10% of their highest price that the same work was sold for about 2 years ago. So yes, there's a lot of that sort of fashionable pushing and shoving in the art market, where you have a sort of herd mentality.
Mm.
Not unlike sometimes you get in the stock market, really, where you have these runs of value suddenly.
Yeah, where it's a momentum trade rather than a fundamental value trade in the underlying share. Alistair?
I mean, Michael, I mean, people always ask us about the investment potential of works, and I suppose we have an idealist view in that ultimately one needs to buy work that one loves and that one can see one living with for a number of years. But it's not a daunting space at all, and the best way really to get into it is to speak to specialists, to speak to gallerists and dealers, and just like any other asset class, to learn as much as you possibly can.
Well, we just have to take a quick break from the Wealth Panel, brought to you by Old Mutual Wealth, and we'll continue the learning when we return. Well, welcome back to our concluding Wealth Panel this week, brought to you by Old Mutual Wealth, and we're discussing fine art as an investment, and I've got Stefan Hunt, curator of the Sanlam Art Collection, on the line, and in studio, Dr. Fred Scott, founding partner at Walker Scott Art Advisory, and Alistair Meredith, art expert at Strauss & Co. Just as we round off, Fred, and for a potential art collector out there who's wanting to get involved, where's a really good place to start? Get out to the galleries?
Yes, certainly. Alistair mentioned that it's very important to buy what you like, and that should be your prime criterion. But if you start to invest a lot of money, you certainly have in the back of your mind that you would like to get some return. So certainly it's very important to go to reputable auction houses and galleries for advice, and to myself as well. But let me make an example. For instance, I mentioned art indexes and data that's available. And if one have access to long-term data, one can actually work out by pencil more or less what is your risk, how much the artwork in future can appreciate and how much it can devaluate in value. And I'm just going to use an example of two completely different artists from different periods, like Franz Uhler and Robert Hodgins. Now, if you have to make your decision in respect of what to buy regarding a potential investment, one can project 20 years forward. And certainly the Hodgins could increase by at least 200% in value, and maybe if the markets are not that good, decrease by 80%. Whereas the Uhler would not, the increase would never be that dramatic. And therefore, it makes much better sense if you're buying for investment to buy something like a Robert Hodgins.
Mm, so there is actually a formula and a way to go about this. It isn't all just subjective and, well, yeah, we think that's where the trends are going, Alistair.
I mean, there is still magic in the art world. I mean, just thinking on a few recent stories, we had an amazing Prello work, one of our cover lots in our November sale, Space Angel. That work was bought in 1977 from Folks Auctioneers. It was bought for 350 Rand, and I happen to know that the buyers, I suppose, propped it into their open bucky and drove it back to Johannesburg. And it was bought for 350 Rand, and it sold 2 weeks ago for about 6.6 million Rand.
That's not a bad IRR over 30 odd years or 40 odd years, but I mean, that's a wonderful story. And before you get into another one, Alistair, because we don't have too much more time as we round one off, and I can see you're so keen to, but I just want to throw it back open to Stefan. And you know, Stefan, very often We like to look at the art world as a very closed, sometimes a little bit snobbish society of art lovers and collectors, and it's not really accessible to the man on the street. But I'm getting a sense that that's certainly changing. Maybe it's because of all the art galleries we're seeing here in Johannesburg, but there's a sense that there's this middle market developing in South Africa. What's your sense of the art market in South Africa?
Look, I certainly think it's opening up a lot more than what people really realize. Certainly, when you look at what information is available on the web, you get access to almost every gallery space, and there's free information in terms of that sort of thing. And something like the art fair that has now been going almost 12 years now in Johannesburg is an indication that people are getting more involved and are showing a lot more interest. So, and when you go to an art fair like that, you actually meet the very artists as well as the dealers and owners of those artworks. So, yes, there is an amount of snootiness that goes on with any of these sort of institutions, such as the art world may be, but I think it's become a lot more accessible than ever before.
Well, unfortunately, that's where we're going to have to leave it tonight. But if you want to get involved in art investing, and it certainly is probably the one of the most aesthetically pleasing ways to invest and hedge against wealth destruction over time, then best get down to an art gallery that is, well, I wouldn't say reputable, because all art galleries are really worth something. We've got Wham around the corner here. We've got quite a few art galleries at last Thursdays in Rosebank. They really are popping up all over the place. Go speak to a really reputable art advisor, and definitely get your hands of a copy on a copy of the latest auction books that have some beautiful works in them, and just immerse yourself in it. Immerse yourself in it like you would the markets, and maybe you might be able to pick up the next 10 bagger or the next preller at 350 odd rand that then retails for 6.7 million a few years later. Well, thanks to all my guests tonight, Dr. Fred Scott, founding partner at Walker Scott Advisory, as well as Alistair Meredith, art expert at Strauss & Co., and on the line, Stefan Hunt, curator of the Sanlam Art Collection. Join us tomorrow for our live outside broadcast from the Design Quarter. We're going to be part of the Portobello Festival. Should be good fun. If you want to avoid any of the afternoon traffic, pop in, sit down and enjoy a glass of wine, and you can meet me and some of my guests from the show tomorrow. We've got Ryan Backus, the current CEO of Backus Brothers, so we're going to be talking about the history of that particular family-owned business, and obviously it's the big ratings day decision from Moody's, so Warwick Lucas will be taking us through that as well. From me, Michael, producer Amol Klakla, and sound engineer Mdu Tnele, thanks so much for tuning in to this concluding Wealth Panel, brought to you as always by Old Mutual Wealth. Good night.